I'm not.
Why did you move it over a bit? Is it here?
With your permission, 1706.
Good here.
I get the white one.
1706. You won't believe what the Midrash says, the reason why I read Megillat Ruth. Just ignore all the lectures from the last 8 years, whatever we said before. I'm telling you what the Midrash says. Until now, it was just, you know, in the air what we say, assumptions. Yeah, look, Tisha.
Is there a new find?
No, no.
No discovery.
No, years before I did not want to say that. But tonight I decided I'm going to tell you.
More mature. We got a little bit older.
No, that's not the reason. The reason is, with all the introduction of all the years before, then you come to understand what the Midrash says tonight. I would have said it 8 years ago, you wouldn't understand. With your permission, Megillat Ruth. Megillat Ruth was written by Shmuel HaNavi. Says the Gemara, and this is really the history of David HaMelech. It's so called, it is Melech Yisrael Chavek Hayam, the Gemara says, in Masechet Sanhedrin. It means that David HaMelech Neshama is going to be the Nishmat Mashiach. People say again, it's not known, but the Gemara says that David HaMelech died in Chag HaShavuot. Most probably Chachamim say he was born in Chag HaShavuot as well. And therefore, because the Megillah ends, the truth really that had a baby, and that baby was the great grandfather of David HaMelech. So therefore, our custom is to read Megillat Ruth. So one of the reasons is because since David HaMelech comes from Ruth, and Ruth comes from a nation called Moab, and there was a big debate among the Chachamim if David HaMelech himself is what we call kosher to come and intermarry with Am Yisrael, since his great grandmother was from the nation Moab, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah, do not intermarry with that nation. Until later Shmuel HaNavi came and made David HaMelech as a king. And this is just to tell us Megillat Ruth, again, because David HaMelech probably was born Chag HaShavuot, since the Gemara Yerushalmi said he died on Chag HaShavuot. So in order to tell us who is really David HaMelech, so Shmuel HaNavi decided to write Megillat Ruth. Just a simple explanation. Megillat Ruth, with your permission, again Shmuel HaNavi wrote, and that's how it starts, by he be me Shvot HaShavtim, by Rav Baret. It says the Gemara. Every time it says Vayihi Bimei is Chas Shalom, it's called bad news. So the Megillah tells us the bad news, says the Gemara, is Vayi Rav, Baret was a famine. Shvot HaShoftim, says the Gemara, this is the time of the judges, before we had the first king Shaul HaMelech. And Shvot HaShoftim, the Gemara says what it means, Shvot HaShoftim, it doesn't say Bimei HaShoftim, is to tell us that the judges themselves were judged by people. It means like this, says the Gemara. When a person was brought to court and the judge said, his decision, the person is telling the judge, Your Honor, forgive me for telling you, but what about you doing this? What about you doing that? He says, who are you to judge me if you're the one that don't behave? This is a Gemara that's called Shefot HaShoftim. It means judge the judges. It means those days when the Gemara says nobody behaved and there was no court system and police system because the judge himself was what we call in America a Mexican judge. It's not to say corrupt, Mexican judge. You know. So that's what the Megillah says. The Megillah says it's really it's not important. What's the way to tell us this? I mean, again, when we decide to write the history of Ruth, that this was in the time of the judges, but not the judges as just a description of that time, and just also to tell you in the same sentence, the judges are no judges. So what's important to know about it? You have to know that Megillah was written by Nevuah, by Ruach HaKodesh. Vayirad, Baret was a famine. So the famine, so why a famine? But that's really peculiar. What says it? Mutadin, Ra'av, Baret, famine comes because the judges don't judge, right? So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring a famine. Why a famine? Why not a flood? Why not a fire? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to bring a famine. The famine...
I'm sorry, you can't collect insurance on a famine.
Right. 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 So the Torah says the Megillah says was a famine. Now again, the Testament also says that twice the same word Vayihi b'meshpot ha'shoftim Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. There was a famine. You say Vayihi b'meshpot ha'shoftim Ra'av ba'aretz. You don't have to say it twice Vayihi. Again, we don't know his name in the first sentence. A person, we don't know his name. The Megillah is going to be said not to write his name. The first sentence. He's going to write it in the second sentence. But in the first sentence, in the Megillah starts, it says, a person from the city of Bethlehem that's in the territory of Yehuda. He went The man has a wife and two children, and he's leaving Israel. He's going to live outside of Eretz Israel. And the first question, of course, why doesn't say his name in the first sentence? Since again, if you see sentence number two, it says Hashem Ish Elimelech. It says his name is Elimelech. So why can't you tell us Vayelech Elimelech Mitzrayim Yehuda? His name was omitted on purpose from the first sentence. The Megillah tells us he goes out from Bethlehem. Bethlehem Yehuda, again, it's just a history. Maybe you have to know that where is he from. It's really irrelevant, really. But this is one entire right. He lives in Bethlehem, in the territory of Yehuda. There's another city called Bethlehem, and maybe in another territory. But it's really not important for the story where he was from. Where is he going to? He's going the go to dwell with them Moab is going to the nation Moab who will store Shnevanav. He has a wife and two children, he moved. So the Gemara says the reason is since it was a famine and he was very, very rich, well to do, and the too many Mishulachim started to come. Knocking on his door all day, you know the situation in Israel, Albert could not give him a certificate. Albert wasn't there to give him a certificate, investigate them. They're begging him, they're knocking on his door. He decided once for all, he's knocking up the door, he's moving. He's going to America. He's going to Moab, and over there he's going to run away from all the poor people. Says the Gemara, that whatever is going to happen soon to him and his children and his wife is just because, if you were mistaken in nice words, he was stingy. He was stingy, and then he is going to pay for it with his life and his children's life just because he should not have left Eretz Israel because the poor people are knocking on his door. Again, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wealth to a person, mainly the Gemara says, to help the poor. says the Gemara, it's called Gargal, it's called like a wheel. It says a rich person today might be poor tomorrow. And says you better help because it's not your money, it was deposited by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but not to deserve death. But maybe just say because you know, because he was, the Gemara says that he was so rich that he was able to carry all of Israel and support them. And since he left, maybe Ram Israel would suffer longer. But still, you don't deserve death for it. I mean, death, I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah when you're getting death. But you can't say, you know, somebody does not want to open the door, he's going to die. The last thing Gemara says, he's going to die, this guy's going to die because he left Israel. Left Israel, so they're begging on his door, he can't fall asleep, he can't have his dinner, he can't have his lunch, supper. Every 5 minutes, there's another beggar comes. He says, you know, he wants to save his life. Maybe the second resolution by me. But for this, you don't deserve death. Death, you deserve, it says in the Torah, what things you do when you deserve death. Just because you don't, you are avoiding. Just because you are avoiding the poor people knocking on your door, you don't deserve death yet. You don't deserve death. Even though the Gemara says he was stingy, but again, it's not a death penalty for being stingy. It's not nice. Maybe you say, Shaka Dishbuchu, maybe you take his money away from him, he's going to lose his money. But that's called Nidak and Nidak. Whatever you don't want to do, Hashem maybe will do it for you. Says Hashem gave you money to help the poor, the needy. You don't want to help, Hashem will take it away. You will find chapter 11, you'll lose it. But to die for that needs to be explained. Not only that, the Gemara will say later that really why his children died besides himself and his wife became a widow, it's all because they let him do it. They should have protested. They should have said, listen, you can leave Israel, you're very rich, you're very well to do. The poor people come, stay over here. You have to give them. If you don't have the nerves for that, you have to appoint a person who should give it for you, but you have no right to disappear. Since the wife and the children, says the Gemara, did not protest it, did not tell him, listen, why are you doing it? You're going to die also, you're going to suffer also. Also needs to be explained. Since, I mean, I was okay. I mean, my husband, my father decided his money, he decided he wants to move. So he moved. So just because I did not protest, that's why I have to die. Needs to be explained.
Rabbi, it's following the same thing that Abraham did to Abraham. You know, he left Egypt when there was a time, he had left Israel, and he went to Egypt when there was a time.
Right. But the first answer, there's another answer. After answer number one, again, the Gemara says over here, the reason why he was punished, because he was so rich that he was able to support the whole country. Abraham Avinu was one. All the rest of them were against him. He doesn't have to support them. So he, Mr. this guy, and his name is going to be Elimelech, he was the president of Israel at the time, and he had all the money, and he was able to purchase and buy all the grain and all the food and support all his brothers and his cousins, all of Israel, instead to support them, he left. Abraham Avinu did not support anybody, he was not the president of Israel, and all the people in Israel were not his cousins and his brothers. It was just people that just did the opposite. So of course he was allowed to live. But the question is, again, the question is, the Gemara says that's the halacha, halachically. The Gemara says that you should not leave Eretz Israel unless there is a famine. But when there is a famine, you're welcome to leave Eretz Israel to move away. Here, again, the person leaves, but again, because he's so rich, and not only that, because he's able to support, Chachamim say, you have no right to leave. You're allowed to leave if you yourself, Hashem, don't have enough money. Like Abraham Avinu, Chachamim say that his money was finished. When he was going to Egypt, he had no money even to pay for the hotel. So then you're allowed to leave. But these guys, they're rich, you're not allowed to leave. The Gemara says Elimelech, again we don't know really if this was his real name, but that's what they called him in his Brit Milah. Maybe yes, maybe not. But Elimelech, the Gemara says, if you divide this word into two, the first three letters you write, you can read alive, Melech, means I am the king. He knew, again, he comes from Yehuda, and he knew that he has such a high position that he is like the king, even though that he had no position as a formal position on Israel. The real position at the time, somebody else was holding, his name was Boaz. Elimelech just said, again, my name is Elimelech. Why my name is Elimelech? Because it means I am the king. Even though, again, he was not the king, he was the richest guy, and maybe he was something I call a president of Israel, but not so-called the leader of Israel. Like the president today of Israel is just a position. And then Mr. Navon cannot do anything. He only can shake his head and say hello, but he cannot make any decision. This guy, Mr. Elimelech, also could not make any decision. The decision was made by Mr. Boaz, that he was really the shofet at the time. Elimelech was a regular person, but since he was so rich, they called him like a president, as they say, Elimelech, and says, I am the king. Again, we don't know if that was his real name 100%, but again, he was called Elimelech by the people, and maybe by Shmuel Navi, by people, because Elimelech maybe was not his real name, because you'll see that he's two sons also, the names that being mentioned over here, Gemara says it's not for sure that was their name either. His name is Elimelech, v'shem ishto Naomi. Naomi, again the Gemara says that Naomi comes from the word Noam. Noam in Hebrew means very nice. Or very
pleasant.
Very pleasant. So Naomi, again, we don't know if her name really was Naomi, it was just a nickname. Again, that's because the Gemara sometimes says that that was the real name. This was a nickname. But maybe it was her name. It's not for sure. The children of Shem Shemalam, the Gemara, this was really the name, or the name was Yoash and Sarab. So his wife's name is Naomi, and the children of Machon Zechilion Efrati, also the Gemara says, important people in Bethlehem Yehuda, again, also from Bethlehem Yehuda, they both, the Moab and Yerusham, they came along together with their father to the field of Moab. Says the Gemara, it doesn't mean the field, it means the city of, one of the cities in Moab, by Yerusham, they stayed over there. Vayamot Elimelech ish Naomi, Elimelech died. But and she was left with the two children. She is a widow. If you remember from years before, the machloket between the Zohar and the Rashi and the Targumim, back and forth, if they really married non-Jewish girls or they did convert them. So in the meantime, they married two girls, even though that they converted them, they cannot marry them for sure. Doesn't matter if they converted them, because at that time yet was no Jew allowed to marry a girl from the nation Moab. So definitely at that time they did something wrong. Maybe in the long run won't be wrong, but right now for sure either they married somebody non-Jew or they married a Jew that you're not allowed to intermarry with them. What you have to do is that person that converted from that nation must marry another convert. But you cannot intermarry with Am Israel forever. You cannot. And they married them. One girl name was Opa, one name is Ruth. This is David Amelach's grandmother. By Shusham Kesselim, 10 years they dwell over there in Moab, in this city outside of Eretz Yisrael. They waited 10 years, and in the meantime, the Medrash says the Gemara, they lost all the money. I mean, can you imagine the man was able to support all of Israel, talking about millions of people. Says millions of people he was able to take care of. And he left all his fortune. I don't know, maybe gold that was cheap this time, I don't know. But he carried everything along with him. There was no banks, there was no safe deposit box. He took all his wealth along with him. And within 10 years, they finished all the money. I don't know if he had bad investment, or just, you know, he just lost it. He lost everything, and that's what the Megillah is going to tell you. It says not only their died, also all the sheep and the camels, everything died completely. So he lost everything. Again, this might be a punishment, since the man did not want to help Abraham Israel with his fortune, maybe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. But Naomi was left without anybody. She decided she's going back to Eretz Israel. She heard in that city, she heard the famine is over. The famine in Israel is over. So the Gemara says, the Midrash says, why the famine is over? So there is a guy named Boaz, that's a relative, that he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so hard, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to stop the famine. So what was the famine yet? Was the famine? We don't know why yet. Maybe. If the reason is that because the people did not behave and the people did not follow the laws of Torah, they did not listen to the judges, all of a sudden it says the famine is over. Why the famine is over? It doesn't say anything. It only says the Midrash that Boaz was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was the judge at the time, so-called the king of Am Israel, and since he was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says no more famine. Why? What is the root of Boaz that he was praying that the famine is over? But the same in the Makom HaShem HaTar Shama, since the famine was permission, she left. She's going back to Israel. Please go back. We don't have to come along with me. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help and will do kindness to you the same what you did to me. The Gemara says that you did not demand any money for me, even though that I was the widow and I was the mother of your husband. Say everything you took care of yourself, the burial also of their husbands, just forget about everything, just go back, and Hashem should pay you back for the kindness you did. It will pay you back. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, and you'll find your new husband, your new house. She kissed them, they're crying, but tomorrow Allah sent and sent, look at Hashem, no, we want to go back to your nation. Sentence 11, no, she said, no, but so many of me, Shrovnav notai. Please, my girls, my daughters, Lama telach naimi, why you have to go along with me, I'll leave anime, I don't understand, but you're waiting that I should have more children, that you'll have, I understand that you want to marry my children, but forget about it, I'm too old, I'm not getting any more children, I have no husband, I'm too old to get married, just go back, and that's the end of it. If you skip to sentence 16, but Tomei Ruta Tishkiyos left. So, Orpah left, and Ruth tells Naomi, don't ask me to leave you. He said, don't ask me anything. I'm going, I'm following you. Your God is my God. Your nation is my nation. Whatever you're going to die, I'm going to die along with you. I'm going to bury next to you, just don't talk to me, I'm coming along. I says, just forget about it. He says, excuse me, you don't have to say the whole thing. Just to say a simple thing. He says, Naomi, I love you very much. You're my ex-mother-in-law. It's very, very strange that a daughter-in-law loves her mother-in-law so much, especially after her husband died. Usually they disconnect the life from them. But here is a special case. A lady who says, I want to go with you. But again, she doesn't say she wants to go along with her. She said she wants to learn, the Gemara says. The Gemara says she told her, I want to learn everything. Tell me all the laws. I would like to become a Jew, a convert Jew, a Jew for truth. And whatever the laws are, I'm going to do it. Your nation is my nation, you guys is my God. Says the Gemara, I'm just going along with you. Of course, I love you very much, but also I like to be like you. maybe again the Gemara says part of the explanation is the kindness that she did not want to leave her mother-in-law, her ex-mother-in-law, mother-in-law by herself. She's going by herself, it's not nice. She described herself as an old lady, and she suffered so much. She used to be what we call the first lady, the richest lady in Israel, and now she's the poorest one. And says, the lady has some kindness, and one version of the Gemara says, the kindness of what? To see that this is really what we call the queen of Am Israel, the mother of the kingdom of Am Israel, that David is going to be born from that lady, to tell us how much this lady is sincere and has so much kindness that she doesn't want to leave her mother-in-law by herself.
How old was mother-in-law?
There's no information how old was Elimelech.
She lived only 10 years.
So they lived 10 years down there.
Yeah.
But we don't know how old she was when she got there. It's no information. Right. But Naomi, we don't know. See, Naomi's information in the middle of Boaz, they say, was 400. And Boaz, that was the cousin of Naomi. It's hard to know how old she was. There's no information. She was not a youngster, that's for sure, but we don't know. So again, the Gemara says to tell us the kindness of Miss, what we call Miss Ruth, that she was devoted to her mother-in-law so much that she is ready to do anything just to go along with her. And then Boaz would say later that he heard how nice she is, that she didn't want to leave her mother-in-law by herself. The sentence 17, she says a statement, Koy ha'aseh Hashem li v'choy yotif, I'm swearing in Hashem's name, ki amalek yafri b'ni v'necha, so only the death may separate us. Since Naomi saw that Ruth wants so hard to go along with her, but rather realize she stopped talking to her, but they went and they get back to Bethlehem. They came, but she looked at her, said, look what happened to her in 10 years, look what happened. You can recognize this lady used to be the beautiful lady, she was the richest lady, look what happened to her. Says, just don't call me Naomi, it's not a pleasant thing anymore, it's a tragedy, it's very bitter. I was very rich, but I'm telling Hashem, a simple explanation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me back empty. Don't call me pleasant, Naomi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a hard time and he made Chas Shalom something bad to me. Just forget about my past. This is my present tense. That's why they have to say this. Why the Mikvah has to write it to us. This is what she's trying to teach them. It says, I was rich, now I'm poor. Change my name, don't call me Naomi. What's the difference? What she's trying to say? What the Miglas read to tell us that? They came back. This is the time when they cut the barley. This is just before Pesach. But stop over here, even though that we might go back. I just want you to say by heart with translation. So the method over here on Megillat Ruth has few statements. A statement number one. Are going to be in the world, says the Gemara, 10 famines in the history. It's just like a prophecy in the Gemara, in the Midrash. You don't expect a famine. It doesn't matter if people will tell you the world is booming and we have already a few billions, trillions of people in China, besides the people we don't know they are there, and so there's not going to be no food. You have nothing to worry. The Gemara promises us that in the name of our Hashem, of course, there can be no more famine.
You're referring only to Israel, of course.
No.
The world.
The world.
The world. And the famine is going on all year.
No. No, not all over the world.
It's worldwide, but it's not worldwide because even in Moab there was food.
Right. Right. That's
so
true.
It wasn't a worldwide.
That's famine. Correct. That's correct. And but the Gemara says famine in the world. You're right.
And Egypt, there was when Yaakov went there.
Right.
Egypt was growing.
Right.
So that wasn't a worldwide famine.
That's right. No, that but the Gemara says the world famine.
The food. No, no, no. At first it was growing. He went there because it was growing.
No, it was not famine in Egypt.
No.
It was. So, I mean, the earth started right away. Right. It was supposed to be a famine, right? The Torah says there was a famine all around, the Torah says. But again, I don't know if the Torah means all over the world. But this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says there's going to be 10 famines around the world, not more than 10. After, and you read the Tanakh, and you can count 9 famines in the Tanakh. The last one was in time of David HaMelech. No, I'm sorry. The last one was the time of Elisha and Navi. Huh?
You learned about that.
No, Elisha didn't learn yet, yeah? He learned in Eliyahu now. He learned after I, yeah? After I, you're right. Yeah, after I we learned, not the Tanakh, right? This is after I, Parashat Mitzorah, Parashat Uzriya Mitzorah. Okay. Right. So then during the Gemara, there's going to be only 10 famines all over the world. 9 real famines. It means no food. The last one says the Gemara, "Lo ra'ev la'lechem, lo tamel la'mayim, ela l'dvar Hashem." If you learn that from me, I believe page 138, Masechet Shabbat, if I'm not mistaken. But again, we can be 9 famines. It was when Adam HaRishon was in Lemech, it was Abraham Avinu, Elizabeth Yitzchak, maybe Yaakov, and then Eliyahu Navi, Elisha Navi, David HaMelech. The last one, the Gemara says, it's not a famine for food. It's a famine to study Torah. Spiritual famine. Says the Gemara, what famine is going to be? It's like the Gemara says, some examples, the people will come, ask you a question, says, I don't know the answer, I don't know the answer. It's not called a famine. What's the famine about? It's not a famine. The Gemara says, yeah, it's famine number 10. Not a famine for food, not a famine for drink, it's a famine to listen to Torah. This is one of them. One of the 9, this is the famine. Gemara says, count this kind of, this famine, Dimesh Vot HaShoftim HaYir Ha'ab, Bares Sentence 1, Megillat Rut, this is one of the famines. That says, there is a famine. But, says the Midrash, it says twice the word by he in the first sentence. It says over here was 2 famines. Famine for food, famine for Torah. What does it mean? So the question is, why do we have famine altogether? Why do we have famine altogether? It says the Gemara, says the Midrash like this, when Am Yisrael do not follow the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to himself, and he says, what should I do? What should I do today? Hashem should destroy completely Am Yisrael. Nah, I'm not going to. Shall I do this for them? I shouldn't do it. Let me give them famine. And if they will have famine, they'll start obey the laws, they'll start praying and learn Torah. So again, the famine is the tool for us to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How big the soul, says the Gemara? Says the Midrash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah to Am Yisrael, the Torah told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not give the Torah to the rich people. A rich person will learn the Torah, he will be too proud of himself, and he will not listen anyway. He will start asking questions, he will start criticizing it, forget about it. Send the Torah itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me to the poor people. I don't want to belong to the rich people. Says the Midrash, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring a famine. A famine is a tool. Of course it's a punishment as well. But the famine is a tool. The tool is to get you back on the track. Is only if you're poor. He says, of course, you don't deserve a punishment like this, but since that's the thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes that you're going to get back on the track, that's what Hashem does. He says, the economy is not so good, the economy is not good, you have to do what to do. Probably you have to learn better, have to pray better. He says, just the tool. The last one, says the Gemara, before Mashiach will come, that's going to be the famine for the Divrei Torah. Again, few explanations of the Gemara, what the Midrash says. But one of the things is to tell you that this is what it means. You have to be hungry to learn Torah. If you know everything, or you have everything, you're not going to learn. You're not going to obey. The only way you learn, if you're hungry. So either you're hungry for food, and you don't have food, or you feel something inside that you're hungry, and that's hunger for the Brit Torah. It's a famine that's called famine to learn Torah and Allah. So again, what really what the Gemara, what the Midrash says, are going to be famine all around the world, is not as just a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's just because people don't behave, and Hashem has mercy. In order to get you back on the track, Hashem makes famine. But the idea of the famine is that you should come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a punishment. Hashem wants you to suffer. If you remember, this was in the Navi, the concept. That's what Eliyahu Navi did, and that's what Elisha Navi did. The tried to break the famine. And this is when Am Yisrael are going to obey the mitzvot. So the famine is just a tool to get us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is in Torah, Vayishmani, Shurun, Vayivat. Usually, when we have too much, then we don't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't obey the mitzvot. Since we get Chasolim to the famine, we come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Ari, that's what the Midrash says. The Mishpat HaShoftim, that's really what the Gemara says. This is the time of the judges. At the time of the judges, if you read Sefer Shoftim, you see constantly Am Yisrael constantly move away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they worship idols and they don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and constantly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring them back. From time to time, the Plishtim Machshimam attack Am Yisrael, then in Sefer Melachim, Aram, the Syrians attack Am Yisrael, and from time to time HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring a famine. Again, it's only tools to get us back on the track. Therefore, says the Gemara over here, this is the worst of the worst over here. It says, Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, it says now it's the time that even the judges are not doing the job. When the person finally was brought into court, and the judges are telling, listen, you, why did you do it? So the Gemara says, you tell the judge, and what do you do? You're not better than me. You also do the same thing like me. So again, what it means is that there's no law. There's no law, there's no Torah. Nobody obeys anything. Therefore, by Yerabaret, so what it means like this, says that this is what the what Rachamim say, by him, Shota Shaftim, says the Midrash, since you don't obey the Torah, you don't learn Torah, you don't keep the laws of Torah, it means it's given you a famine. But again, the famine is not a punishment, the famine is to get you back on the track. That says, now there is a famine. And then there's a man, that really, his name is Elimelech, that he is rich. Why is he rich? Everybody else is poor. Israel rich. Israel rich, it's not because he's rich, because he keeps everything. He is a holy man. He lives in Bethlehem, Yehudah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the money with him. He's not the only man. There's a few other rich people left in Israel, but he's one of them. But he's the richest one. He can support everybody. can support everybody. It means all the people come to him, says, knock on the door. He says, yeah. Can you have a charity from you? A charity from you? He says, how come this man has money? And we don't have money. Or we ask the question, says Ari, how come this guy Elimelech is so rich? That is so rich, he can support all Israel, he can support one person who can support all of Israel. And the reason says the Gemara is because this guy Elimelech, Chachamim say, was a very, very holy man, and very tzaddik. Very tzaddik. Says, you have the ability to come to your heart and say, oh, look, the man is so rich. But you call him America filthy rich. Look how his rich he is. I said, oh, he goes to the hatch, you know, to see, he puts skin in, he goes this, he prays, he leans, he learns. It says, you have the ability to change your life. It says, when you go outside and you say, oh, it's a famine, oh, God is in famine, who knows? He says, how come these guys are so rich? We have nothing to eat. It says, what you have to do is you have to open up your house. I said, you're more than welcome, can't have a meal. He says, how come you have money? How come you have this? Because I keep. So again, the famine is just a tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you back. It's not a punishment Hashem wants you to suffer, says the Midrash. It is Hashem wants you back. So Hashem doesn't want the Midrash to destroy you or to send you out of Eretz Israel. Hashem wants to come back. It says, this is the role model. That's the rich person. That's the biggest thing what the rich person can do. It says, he's learning. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasim was the richest, one of the richest persons ever. Am Yisrael had was Rabbi Yonasim. Says the Gemara, he himself did not behave as a rich person. He himself behaved like a poor person, says the Gemara. It says, before he died, he raised his hand. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, you see how much money you gave me? I raised my hand, I never had a pleasure in my life. Says the Gemara, his table was full all the time with food, didn't eat nothing, just, you know, taste something. It says, wow, this is be on his table, this, nothing. It says, yeah, thank you very much. Before he died, he raised his hand. He said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much for all the wealth you gave me. And he says, I did not have any pleasure from the wealth. Says, I behaved like a poor person. Says the Gemara, says the Midrash, the Torah will not pay unless the man feels he is poor. Because if he is rich, the Torah will not say that. He will criticize the Torah, he has many questions, and he will forget it. He says, I don't need the Torah. A person has to feel that he is poor in order to keep the Torah. He says, this guy, Elimelech is very good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you all the wealth. But the wealth that Hashem gave it to you is the tool to bring back all of Israel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, he leaves the earth Israel. Why are you leaving Israel? He says, you are the cause now of all of Israel not to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called the biggest chilul Hashem. Rachamim say, this is what you did is, instead of being back on Israel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you left, you ran away. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you wealth, and you ran away. He says, the wealth that was given to you is to do Kiddush Hashem with it, to bring Hashem's name back, that everybody should come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead you left. He says, instead you left, that's the punishment that you're going to get. Says the Midrash that this is really the whole idea of Megillat Ruth. Megillat Ruth, says the Midrash, like this. Says if you think that you Megillat Ruth you read because of Ruth, says the Midrash, no, I want to tell you something. Megillat Ruth starts with a famine and will continue with the suffering of Naomi and Ruth, unbearable, unbelievable. The richest lady in Israel became the poorest one. And read the chapter 2, that they had no food, and Ruth and Naomi, with no shame, sending Ruth to the fields to try to pick up from the floor some pieces of wheat to bring home, to grind it at home, and then to make a little bread. And so how is it possible that the lady was called the first lady, the biggest lady in Israel, now has no shame even. There's no shame. Through the Megillah you see that she stayed poor, she never became rich, but she will have a grandson David HaMelech. Yes, David HaMelech. Says the Gemara, grandson David HaMelech, we like to think about David HaMelech, that David HaMelech, you know, you read the Tanakh, he says nothing. We don't know, but there is something that asks us, Describe David HaMelech. What did he do? They said he was a fighter. He was a hero. He was good looking. He was the king. He survived Shaul. He did see that. Says the Gemara one thing. Halacha kemoto b'chol makom. Says the Gemara, David HaMelech was learning all the time and used to come to Sanhedrin and had a debate and he had to tell, he said his opinion. He said his opinion was always acceptable. Everybody said he is right. Says the Gemara, David HaMelech was sitting down and judging every day from morning to night. And says, what's the reason behind it? He says, if there is no Torah, it's going to be a famine. The reason why you have food is because you keep the Torah. He says, David HaMelech is the grandson of Ruth. He says, Ari Yishmonavi wrote the Megillat Ruth to tell you something. Look, David HaMelech is going to come from Naomi, from Ruth. They will be so poor, but the devotion to Torah, to the law, will be so great that that's what David HaMelech was born from, and he's going to become David HaMelech. That's what the Rambam says in the Halachot. So if you wait for Mashiach, you have to know what Mashiach is all about. The Mashiach is all about is Torah. It says the Rambam right over there in the Halachot, if you know Mashiach will come, it's going to be such a big prosperity. It says nothing will be missing. You have so much food and so much this because you can have Torah. Says the Mishnah, you should know if Mashiach is going to come, the other will come with Mashiach, is to teach us, to learn Torah. It says because that's what the world is standing on. So famine, no food, is only to get you to that state. So Chachamim says, that's what the Gemara says. It says really famine. So the famine is not a punishment. The famine is just to get us back to Torah. Says the Midrash, the reason why we read Megillat Rut on Shavuot, Tanaim wrote it, is because to see how poor Naomi was, how poor Rut was, and Rut is saying to me, to Naomi, I'm going with you to learn the Torah to convert. It says, no, I don't want to convert, you know. Look what happened. That's the last person that wants to convert. This was to be first lady, the richest lady. Now she's the poorest one. So look, it's not going to be a Jew. She is the daughter of the king of Moab, Eglon. And she had only tragedy. Her husband died, her brother-in-law died, her father-in-law died, her mother-in-law is very poor. It says, no, I'm going to convert. I'm going to convert so badly that I'm going to learn all the laws, obey all the laws, and doesn't matter anything. Of course, the conversion is also what the Gemara says is the kindness she did not want to leave her mother-in-law. But again, in the statement, she doesn't say that. She doesn't say, I don't want you to be by yourself. She says, I want to be with the laws of God. It seems that's what she said, the laws of God, says the Midrash, that she is very poor. Read Megillat Rut on Shavuot, that's the day we got the Torah. Says the Midrash, you got the Torah, you have to know. If you got the Torah, you have to feel that you're poor. Not necessarily actually that you have to be poor. You can be like a widow and see that you're very, very rich, but you have to feel that you're poor. It says the reason the Midrash says we're going to read Megillat Rut on Shavuot is to tell us that David HaMelech, that Mashiach, that comes from Rut, happened to come from poverty, not from wealth. It says wealth is not the thing that brings you to learn Torah. Brings you to learn Torah, the opposite, poverty. Or you think about yourself that I'm very poor. It says the Midrash, that's the only reason we read the Megillah on Shavuot. To feel it, that we accept the Torah, we got the Torah, because we feel we are poor. That's what the Gemara says, the explanation on the sentence in Sefer Dvarim, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu chose us, not because we are lot, just because we are little. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, not little, but it's not me'at, says the Gemara what it means, atem me'atim et atzmechem. Says the Gemara, you have to feel that you're poor, in order for the Torah to penetrate inside you. And that's really the Mishnah in Perkei Avot, the sixth paragraph of Perkei Avot. The Mishnah says, the Torah niknet b'memechet dvarim, the 48 stages you have to reach in order to get to understand the Torah. And the Mishnah will tell you to make yourself in a position that you're very poor. It says, Pag Bamelach Tochal, Allah Retzisham. It says, Vatorah Ta'amen, Mayim Mamsurah Tishte. It says, not from a good dinner and from a lot of food and having fun, you'll be able to learn the Torah. So the reason why we read Megillat Rut and Chag HaShavuot to the Midrash is for you and to direct us to understand that we have to feel poor in order to understand why Hashem gave us the Torah. And that's what Hashem writes to the Dorim. Hashem gave us the Torah because we feel that we are poor people. That's what the Gemara says, all the Tzadikim, before they die, they told them, listen, I feel I'm poor. I feel I'm poor, and I behave all my life as a poor person. Because otherwise, you cannot have Torah. As the Torah only goes to the poor. That's why Mishnah says in Pesach Avot, Yizaru b'vnei aniyim, shemehem tetze Torah. It says, look, make sure, as the poor people, look at them, you see they are going to be the scholar. It says, why? Because the Torah goes only if a person feels that he is poor. It says, the whole purpose of the Megillah is to tell us what is the purpose of life, what's the purpose of wealth, how you're supposed to use your wealth. And the Melech would be saved. It says, his wife and his children should protest it. You say, Mr. Elimelech, with all the respect, you have to understand, Hashem gave you money, it's good. Somebody will come to your house, and says, I need a donation. You look at him and say, look, you, I read about you in the newspaper. I read about you. You brought to the judge. He says, you know why I have money? You don't have money. Because I obey the laws. You don't obey the laws. He says, instead, he ran away, and his wife and his children did not protest, let him go. It says, that's what's going to happen. The tragedy is that he is going to die first, and since his wife and the children did not go right away back and to do with the money what they're supposed to do with the money, they lost all the money. They lost all the money, and he goes back, and everybody says, oh, look what happened to him. He says, oh, you know what? You call me bitter. What do you mean you call me bitter? He says, I used to be rich. What happened to you? What happened to you? He says, we didn't use the money right. He says, if you don't use the money right, it means that's called bitterness. It says, bitterness is the one that drove me back in this position. I have no food, I'm going to send Ruth to look for food, but this food that I'll get, it is something, a tool to get me back on the right path. Eventually, this girl will have to be the Melech, that he is going to be what's called a Mashiach. That is, Mashiach comes from the poverty, from just doing the right thing with the money. It says, this is, Shavuot, the Midrash says, the Zohar says, Atini Metas Migalot, says, if you want to come out of exile, you have to understand what Torah is all about. Torah is all about means that you are feeling that you're a poor person. It says, if you feel that you're a poor person, this is what Hashem gave us, the Torah. So then on Shavuot, we should accept the Torah, not with pride, just with humbleness, just with we feel that we are poor. It says the Midrash, this is the reason we have to come to the Megillat Rut and read it on Chag HaShavuot, that our Minhag says the Midrash, just to prepare ourselves to accept the Torah the way Hashem gave it.